Shell Oil is seeking damage or changes to the air permit for one of its drill ships after a spokesman says generator engines tested slightly above permit levels for ammonia and nitrous oxide. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says it's a major permit and the agency has not decided how to move forward. U.S. Attorney Karen Loeffler says the eighth and final defendant indicted in a money laundering conspiracy has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. Christopher Bicknell and others were charged with plotting to launder the proceeds of oxycodone sales from December of 2009 to August of 2010. 18 financial transactions took place between Alaska and California, totaling over $90,000. Alaska mine regulators want to be informed on Chieftain Metals' plans to treat acid rock drainage at the old Tassaquah Chief Mine in British Columbia. As KTOO has reported, the company shut down its interim water treatment plant last month because of unanticipated costs. They told Canadian regulators that it needed to improve plant operations as well as raise more money to run it. In a letter this week to Chieftain Metals, Alaska Large Mine Coordinator Kyle Moselle urged the company to quickly resolve the problems and bring the plant back online.
And as they're working through those challenges and working to bring it back online, I would appreciate if they kept me in the loop so that I can be responsive to interested public and agencies on this side of the border.
Acidic water has been draining out of the old mine into the Tassaquah River, a tributary of the Taku, for more than 60 years. When Chieftain purchased the property 2 years ago, it inherited the problem and the BC government's requirement to clean it up. The state has no jurisdiction over the project, but usually conveys Alaska's concerns to Canadian environmental officials, including the Taku River's importance to the commercial, sport, and subsistence salmon fishery.
We're not regulating this mine. We're essentially looking over the fence on a project happening in our neighbor's yard. So I want to be kept in the loop on what's happening, sure, because we want them to be responsive to our concerns, you know, about potential downstream effects.
Chieftain Metals installed the water treatment plant last fall. It's been operating since December. BC environmental officials say water quality from the old mine significantly improved while it was running, but the company says it has spent more than $9 million on the plant. Chieftain has reduced the number of workers at the mine site while it looks for ways to reduce the cost of operating that treatment facility. In an email response to Moselle, Chieftain Metals' chief operating officer, Keith Boyle, quoted a company news release about the suspension. Boyle also said he would keep Moselle informed as the company works the kinks out of the treatment system and secures financing for it. Mine critics call Boyle's response totally inadequate, but Moselle says he's satisfied. He hopes to get the same information that Canadian regulators get from the company. Last year, Juneau's legislative delegation created the Taku River Task Force to gather information about industrial development in the watershed. Representative Beth Curtula says the delegation is watching the latest developments as the company continues to study reopening the old mine, which is likely the solution to ending the acid rock drainage. The Alaska Marine Highway System has concluded that a maneuvering error by the captain of the state ferry, Matt Nuska, resulted in the May 7th crash with a seafood processing plant down in Petersburg. The accident shut down the Ocean Beauty Seafood Cannery for this year. Joe Picknicky has more on the story.
The 408-foot passenger ferry rammed into the Ocean Beauty plant just after 1 o'clock on May 7th. Smashing the wooden concrete dock and the cannery building. The Marine Highway System came out this month with the results of its internal investigation of the accident. Ferry System Chief Mike Neusel says the Matanuska's captain tried to get out of a strong tidal current pushing it south in the Wrangell Narrows towards Petersburg's ferry terminal.
He was attempting to maneuver the ship over to the Petersburg town side of the channel to get into that back eddy area where there's less current that's pushing him rapidly towards the Marine Highway dock so that he has so he can slow down and make a more controlled approach into the Marine Highway dock. Unfortunately, the maneuver he executed was a pretty severe left-hand turn to get out of the main channel over towards the Petersburg town side, and then even with full right rudder and differential thrust on the shafts, could not get back to make a right-hand turn to turn away from that dock and parallel the town side.
The report says the vessel's master at the time of the accident, Scott McCauley, is one of the most experienced ship handlers in the fleet, with over 29 years of deck officer experience. The accident happened just about 2 hours before the high tide that afternoon, and it was one of the bigger tides of the month. The current in the Wrangell Narrows at the time of the crash was estimated around 4 to 5 knots. The vessel's crew members underwent the mandatory alcohol and drug testing following the incident, and results all came back negative. Mechanical problems also did not factor into the crash. However, the Marine Highways investigation noted concern by prior captains that the Matanuska's steering is less responsive than its sister ships, the Taku and the Malaspina. Neusel says the Marine Highway System will take steps to avoid a similar accident in the future.
The whole purpose of the investigation really is to learn lessons, what happened, why it happened, how it happened, and then to spread that information amongst the rest of the fleet so that they can consider that in their future ship maneuvers. So this report will be distributed to the rest of our deck officers and captains with emphasis on paying attention to those potentially somewhat unknown environmental conditions. I mean, the currents there, I think, were a big factor in this instance.
The investigation relied on crew member testimony as well as audio recordings and data from the ferry. The report says the crew was not negligent in its duties and took the right actions to try and slow the vessel as it hit the cannery. The state's report finds initially there was no public address warning to passengers since the master fully expected to turn to starboard and miss the dock. And the report says by the time it was apparent that a starboard turn would not happen, the master became focused on trying to minimize the damage by adjusting the engines to full astern, and there was no time to issue a warning over the PA system. The report recommends administrative actions for the crew, but says that those internal personnel matters would not be made public. The ferry sustained only scraped paint and some dents. The technical term for this type of accident is an elision, where a moving object strikes a stationary one. Neusel points out accidents are rare for the state's ferry system.
I think in the last 28 years we've had 14 of these types of elisions over the course of like 200,000, you know, moorings, and then, you know, another 200,000 unmooring evolutions that you have the potential to have this happen at. So a pretty rare occurrence, but obviously when it happens, it's got some serious consequences. We're fortunate that the consequences were not worse in this case. Property damage is certainly, you know, not something that's desirable, but no injuries, no loss of life, nothing like that. So we were fortunate.
Ocean Beauty decided not to operate its processing plant in the building this summer because of the accident. The company's vice president of marketing, Tom Sunderland, says they plan to have the plant open again in 2013, but he didn't have an opinion on the state's latest conclusions.
We're just hopeful that the state and the various authorities who are involved can come to some conclusion, you know, quickly and accurately that allows us to operate next year. So far, I mean, the city and the state have been great to us. They've really been tremendous in how they've responded, and this really isn't an issue of ours. You know, we're just hoping that this leads towards a quick resolution that will allow us to do everything on time for next year.
Sunderland says Ocean Beauty is doing repair work to the cannery this summer and fall and won't have a dollar amount for the damage until after that work is complete. The U.S. Coast Guard has not yet completed a separate investigation of the incident. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.